You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario since 1922. Find and follow us on Instagram at CFRC Music. Coming up in this special community takeover of our airwaves, we're delighted to welcome some of the team from TEDx Queen's U. TEDx is an initiative developed by TED to spark and spread their mantra of ideas change everything. TEDx is a program of local, self-organized events that work to bring communities together to share a TED-like experience. TEDx Queen's U is an independently organized TED event that unites the Kingston and Queen's University communities. At events, TED Talks and local live speakers combine to spark deep discussion and connection among attendees. TEDx Queen's U is a collective of people whose goals are to teach and share ideas worth spreading. Since founding in 2009, they have grown to become the second largest TEDx event in Canada and the largest student-led TEDx event in the country. They use their events to showcase Canadian creativity, ingenuity, and innovation while hosting amazing speakers from around the world. So you are listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We're here with our campus and community takeover for Wednesday, and I've got three members of the team here from TEDx Queen's U. So do you want to introduce yourselves and just let people know what your role is with the club?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for having us. My name's Joey, and I'm one of the co-directors this year.
My name is Alex, and I'm also one of the co-directors this year.
My name's Keshvi, and I'm the last co-director for this year.
All right. Triple threat.
Yep.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Thankfully, the weather got a little bit better. It was a little hairy out there earlier. So TEDx, looking at information about your organization, largest student-run TEDx and the second largest in Canada in general. So how many people are on your team?
There's currently about 46 of us.
Wow.
And then that's also not including our wonderful 8 volunteers that we have at our conference this year, and also our 4 members on our advisory board as well, which are 4 like grown adults that are well into their like own careers and stuff that have also been able to assist us and guide us through our experience.
And yeah, I see like there's a lot of collaboration, it sounds like, between the Kingston community and Queen's University as well, which, you know, is welcome. It's not always the case that everyone gets along that amazingly. So you're all co-directors. I'm assuming this is probably not your first year with TEDx, or is it?
So for me, I'm in my 3rd year of my bachelor's degree, and this is my 3rd year with TEDx. So basically, my entire undergrad has been defined by like being part of this club. I'd say so. I can't remember a time that I was at Queen's that I wasn't in TEDx. So yeah, round 3 for me, unfortunately the last round, but I'm excited to go out with a bang.
Yeah, I'm about the same. I started as a volunteer in 1st year, and then I guess eventually worked my way up. But yeah, it is unfortunately our last year.
Yeah, I was not as locked in 1st year, unfortunately, but I was able to do sponsorship last year, which was really fun because I got to connect with the Kingston community, like you were saying, and build some new partnerships for our team that have been really good for us. But yeah, it's really unfortunate we can't stay next year, but we'll be supporting them from the sidelines for sure.
Yeah, totally.
Now, TEDx is pretty famous, TED Talks and TEDx, but if people aren't that familiar, can you explain like what is TEDx? Specifically, what does TEDx Queen's U do?
Yeah, so there's a bit of a confusion. People think like TED, TEDx, and TEDx Queen's U, like they're all the same thing. So the X actually stands for an independent run TED event. So TED is the global brand that everyone's kind of aware of. You watch the videos in elementary school, high school, the TED Ed videos. But the X signifies the student chapters, which is where a lot of the famous TikToks you've probably seen online come from different schools. So yeah, we're the Queen's version of TEDx, and this is our 16th year, so we've been around for quite some time, and we're really excited to keep our tradition going. We're also a 2-time AMS event of the year, so we're pretty concrete in the Queen's community as well. But yeah, TEDx event typically consists of a variety of speakers from different fields. We try and be as diverse as possible to show it's not really just focused in one topic. Our theme this year is actually orchestrate. Alex has a really good definition she can share after, because I kind of forgot it, but it's basically just about bringing everyone together, sparking innovation, and really showing that ideas can change everything, because there's so many people at Queen's who have ideas, passions, new innovations that might get overlooked typically. So we really like to foster that kind of academic discussion, networking outside the traditional classroom environment that you're used to in university.
Yeah, and also just one thing to add too, building on to how we always are constantly trying to engage with both the Queens and Kingston community and really integrate that within TEDx Queens U. We even have a lot of our speakers that come up are, that are either current or past Queens students, including this year. Alexandra Watsi is a current Queens student in undergrad, I believe in her fourth year, and she's going to be talking about her research that she is doing in concussions and also her own personal journey through that experience. And then we also have Abby, who done multiple Ironmans in a bunch of different continents and gotten some awards for that as well. Also happens to be a Queens alumni, so we're also really excited to be doing that as well.
Cool. Yeah. And can you elaborate on what orchestrate means? Because I mean,
oh,
that's
yes.
it's an intriguing term.
Been a bit of like a working thing. We really, really liked the word as well and like what it represented, both like music related and non-music related. We all really like music, obviously, and we've all played instruments in the past and that kind of thing. But the fact that music really harmonizes and brings people together as well, and what really, well, TEDx Queens U represents in the kind of talks that we are hoping to bring on to our conference is to really foster action or even just thought and discussion. And we believe that that kind of harmony of ideas essentially does that. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what our definition is.
I think adding on like that word Alex said, like harmony, that's something that we've really tried to kind of integrate into like everything we do indirectly, because I think for me, I'm a big classical music person, so it's like when I hear harmony, it's like when the whole orchestra just like comes together and like just makes something beautiful or like really like profound. So I think that kind of represents what we try to do with our team too, where it's like we have a bunch of different people, kind of like a bunch of different instruments, but like when we come together, we make this like really amazing final product, and it's something that we obviously can't do without our team, but also without our amazing speakers and just like all the community and like Queen support that we get. So I think that it's also like a deeper representation of just like the village it takes to run our conference as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
I love the integration of arts and music into these conversations too, because I think sometimes art gets dismissed as sort of a pastime or a hobby and not something that's integral. But there are so many values to being an artist and to listening to music and to creating art. So
yeah, totally. In fact, actually, another one of our speakers is going to be talking about the neuroscience behind music and how that actually impacts it. And her husband had actually been a very big music composer as well,
I think so,
an artist. Yeah. So that's like another thing, just like re-stress just how much it really impacts who we are and like how our brain even functions. Yeah. So,
well, I think that's reflected too in the huge list of songs that I got sent for this. So we'll be interspersing some of it. I won't be able, because it's a 2-hour playlist for 1 hour. So we'll be able to play all of it, but it's great to see the enthusiasm there. So thank you for that as well. So you mentioned some of the speakers that are coming. Can you tell listeners a little bit more about the structure of TEDx Queens U for this year? Is it one event? Is it multiple events? What can people expect if they're going to be attending?
So typically we have a 2-day event, but one thing we all kind of noticed is that people prefer like committing to 1 day over 2 as students, and even people in the community, especially on a weekend, they like to relax. So we switched to the 1-day format this year for our conference. Another thing we added this year was salon events. So we have had salon events in the past. We didn't have them last year, but essentially those are just kind of like mini hype events to build hype for the conference and kind of get people to know more about what goes on behind the scenes. So this year we had one salon event called Reconnect TED, where we had past speakers come in and share their stories of curating a TED talk and kind of like public speaking in general. But then for the conference itself, we typically feature 7 to 8 speakers. This year we have 8 speakers. I think last year we had 10 or 9.
9, yeah.
But yeah, so we'll have blocks of speakers who normally 3 at a time. We have performances as well from Queens clubs, as well as some professors from Queens who are forming a quintet and playing for us, which is going to be really exciting.
Called Limestone Collective.
Yeah, nice. Limestone Collective. Yeah. Shout
and
out.
Trillers Acapella.
Trillers Acapella. But yeah, so we also have our Innovation Lab at the conference. So again, Kingston organizations and Queens clubs come out to the Innovation Lab and kind of share what they're working on with the student body and the community members. Really, again, just to keep fostering that discussion and inspiring passion and innovation in the community. We also have our Indigenous opening ceremony. Last year, we were very fortunate to have Robert Spade from Turtle Island come down and give an amazing Indigenous opening and closing ceremony. We also feature a few Indigenous artists who come and sell their projects, their arts and crafts, just cool things that they work on that we really want to promote to the student body. The conference also has catering. We have our delegate bags with all our amazing sponsors who give in-kind items or coupons. Like, we have so many drinks this year, so you're not going to be thirsty at the conference. And yeah, there's really something for everyone. kind of like our team structure, we're not all from one program. We kind of have people from every faculty. That's what we hope the conference fosters as well. It's not just all the same people you see in your classes. You're getting to meet new people, ask questions, and kind of dive into passions that you don't get to typically explore.
Yeah, and even getting a one-on-one opportunity to even get to speak to the speakers during the intermissions and ask them questions about their talks that they just gave and stuff like that too. Yeah, but what's one thing we really try to stress as well is just like, again, like what I had said before is like fostering discussion and being able to like talk to people from different faculties, different areas, walks of life, and even bring people from all the way across the community.
Yeah, and I think one thing that I think we all really value is the fact that, you know, we're all students. We sit through infinite lectures every week, but like when people come to the conference, it's like we're all sitting there with full attention, like learning about these topics that we otherwise wouldn't. So I think I really like the idea that our conference kind of allows people to pursue topics willingly and like learn about things that they might be like super interested in. And it's like niche things that you're not going to hear about on a day-to-day basis. So I think it's just a really cool way to find out about a lot of different ideas going on in the world and like hear from these people who like have such rich life experiences. Like it's definitely just, you always come out of it learning something new or like having a new perspective.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like obviously a lot more conversational versus a lecture, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, I know sometimes if you're a student and you've been in lectures all day, you're like, oh my God, last thing I want to do is hear someone talk at me again. But it sounds interdisciplinary, interactive with the audience, and like a great opportunity for people to nerd out a little bit.
100%. Yeah, 100%.
Totally. Yeah, we've even got someone coming in talking about mold,
a chemical engineer,
which I'm really excited to hear about. I mean, it's definitely pretty applicable to like every single one of us too that are living in like Kingston housing and stuff. I'm sure, that's a problem. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. Point is, we have a lot of different topics that we're bringing across and that we always try to do.
We run, typically our auditions for speakers happen in October, and we have so many amazing ideas, and it's really hard to sit down and kind of figure out what do we want to show the students? What's an important message that we want to get across? We also have someone who works with domestic violence. So a little bit more of a sensitive topic, but something that's really necessary and relevant to all of us. So it's really great to work with the speakers team. And then we also have Megan Hamilton, who's our speakers coach. Her handle is ImpactWitch.
Yeah.
She is amazing at helping our speakers really come out of their shell and develop that talk that's going to be a hit for the people listening. And we would be in a lot more struggles without her help.
She also helps coach our speakers team even as well, so they get to have that like firsthand experience with someone who is very experienced as well, but also get to learn themselves about the entire process of crafting your own talk. So
Megan would be very familiar to listeners of CFRC because she's also a local musician who definitely featured here on the radio before, and just an awesome human being. So
she's awesome. We love Megan.
Her speakers workshop was awesome. We did did one over the break, and it was just so much fun, like to let loose and kind of learn how to get your best pitch and doing different like breathing exercises, like stuff people wouldn't
actually
even think
calm you
about.
Down like instantly. And
so this sounds obviously like carefully thought out and a big production. You mentioned there's like 46 different people involved. Mm-hmm. When does planning start? So you've got your speakers, the panel starting in October, but I imagine obviously the idea stage has to come before that.
Yeah. I think we started hiring our team in April, May, and then after that, like, we start working on it basically instantly. We did like our theme brainstorm in May, June, and got the entire team to vote on it. And then obviously a lot of the other portfolios start doing all their outreach right away. Shout out to Logs and Spawns because they've been doing amazing. And like, as you can see, well, all the stuff that we have in our delegate bag, it definitely takes like a village, like Keshi said, and we've been working on it for, I guess, 8 months?
Okay. Almost a year now, though, because all three of us stepped into this role in February, and basically from day one, we were just like, okay, this is what we want to do, and this is what we want to hire. So basically a year-long job, and then like for all of us, because it's not our first time being part of TEDx, it's something that continues on in different ways, like constantly.
Right.
And even through the summers and stuff. So.
Yeah, what you learned the year before that you want to apply to
for
it,
sure.
The next
100%.
Is there guidance? I know TEDx is a separate thing, but is there guidance from overarching organization, I guess?
Yeah, so typically how it works is your event doesn't exist until you get approved by TEDx. Okay. So we were really fortunate to get approved super quickly this year. So we were able to start working on everything we needed to. They have lots of materials on like how to run a successful conference. But kind of like we said, it's our 16th year, so we have lots of stuff in our Google Drive just of like past events, past like catering, past speakers, past timelines. So when we were creating our own timeline and everything for this year, it wasn't just like completely out of thin air. We used everything. Like our budget goes back to 2012. We also have our senior advisor, Adam Say. He works for the Queen's Alumni Association, and he's been amazing at helping us kind of figure out all the little things that we don't really know, like, are we allowed to do this because of policy? Are we allowed to do this? And he'll always be double checking for us, even after he just had his second child. But yeah, it's really kind of everyone working together and bringing it to life.
Yeah, he's like essentially our like main point of contact between us and TEDx as well. So a lot of our contact goes through that. And yeah, like Joey was saying, like, we are very grateful for him because we do bombard him with lots of different questions of what we can and can't do, especially like regarding TEDx and like our own license and that kind of thing, and like making sure that everything we're doing is fulfilling that.
And like besides that, I know within the club we all like build really strong relationships, so we still talk to our previous co-directors a lot, like the people who's always stepped into, and we still have strong relationships with them. So that's another way we can kind of get just the perspective of like, okay, what was it like when you were in our shoes and like you faced this pressure or that challenge? So we also kind of have people that still care so much about this organization even long after they've been a part of it, and we can still really rely on them. So like shout out Simranjeet and Chloe, our past co-directors, for helping us so much these past few months. And like, I know when all of us are out of this role as well, like we know we still want to be helping the next set that comes in. So we kind of have a little, I like to call it our family, I guess.
Yeah.
TEDx family.
We all love each other a lot. So
most times.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways we support each other. And in on top of Adam, Alex mentioned earlier, we have our advisory board as well, and they're all prominent Kingston community members who like take time out of their busy lives to come and help us. So we mentioned Megan, there's a few who work in different sectors in Kingston, like in the business sector, healthcare, and so on. So
we've got Norm and Nathan as well.
Yeah, so I think it's definitely a really unique club in the sense where it's like we have like a direct Kingston community connection. We have like actual real people supporting our cause. So
yeah, and I feel like that's also pretty rare for a lot of Queens clubs, that you actually have like an advisory board of people who are really in the field and could give us those sorts of connections or advice and wisdom. So we're really grateful for that as well, because they've been a huge help.
I've spent over a decade working different festivals and things, and I know like all the moving parts involved, and oh my god, it's beautiful to see that you have that support, because there's so many moving pieces that you don't even know about until they come up.
Oh, 100%.
Be able to plan those well in advance instead of it being a surprise.
Excellent.
So if listeners are just tuning in, I'm talking with the three co-directors of this year's TEDx Queens U. Do you want to just quickly say your names again for people that are just tuning in?
Yeah, for sure. I'm Joey, one of the co-directors.
I'm Alex, another one of the co-directors.
And I'm Keshvi, another one of the co-directors.
So we'll talk a little bit about the details of this event, but if people are listening and they're interested in getting involved, you've all been involved for a while now. What inspired you when you first signed up, and how do people sign up to volunteer? What roles are available? What's the time commitment like?
Yeah, it definitely depends on the role. So we have obviously the co-directors, team leads, coordinators, volunteers. So typically team leads get hired first because they're going to be working with their team of coordinators more independently. So we want to make sure they can build good relationships and they know the type of people they're going to be working with. So that typically happens for team leads in April, end of April, beginning of May. Co-director hiring normally happens around March, and then coordinators will be shortly after the team leads. Volunteers normally happens in the school year, so we try and really promote that we'll be hiring volunteers at the intro like orientation events and everything, because it is hard when you're coming first year. It's like a lot of these clubs already have people in it, so we try and keep open a few spots to let like first years come join. We have three first year reps this year. We have Evan, Emma, and Anisha. They're all awesome and been such great help. They're actually going to be the MCs for our conference. It's a little tradition I think we started maybe last year or did this
3 years
ago. So it's a nice tradition, kind of really getting the first years involved and not forcing them, but making them step out of their comfort zone and do something that not a lot of first years get the chance to do. For me, I actually joined because of the previous co-director. He was my TA for a class, and I saw him post about TEDx. And when I was younger, I always loved watching the TED Ed like mystery videos and like just random TED Talks. And so I was like, this is something like I didn't even know they ran it at Queens. And I was really fortunate to be chosen. And then it was such an awesome year that I was like, well, I can't just leave now. I have to keep doing it. And I'm really glad to be working with Alex and Kesh and the rest of our team. It's been such an awesome year so far. Definitely a little busy, lots of moving parts, like you said, but at the end, it's all worth it. And seeing the conference come to life is just truly extraordinary.
Yeah, so definitely building on what Joy said, I love our like little co-director trio and like our team so much. And for me, like, like, I've been able to be a part of TED for 3 years, like I mentioned. So I joined right in first year and I applied, and I remember I didn't hear anything for 2 months and I was like, okay, it's over. But then they gave me a call in November and they're like, hey, we need you. And I like immediately said yes to the opportunity, and I got to help organize a conference that year, which ended up being like a really great experience. And then after that, I applied to be a team lead. And then after that, now like I was fortunate to be chosen as one of the co-directors. So it's kind of just been like a step-by-step trajectory for me the past few years. But in terms of initially joining, the way that I decided was like, it's kind of dramatic. I remember like walking through the arc and then seeing the TEDx booth, and I'm like, oh my God, like wait, like the red X looks really familiar. So I like went up and talked to them, and like the vibes just seemed really good in the club. And like Joey said, I think we've all kind of been exposed to TED in like some shape or form, like in our education or even just when you're sitting watching YouTube. So I decided to talk to the people who were a part of it, and they just spoke really highly of it. And I knew that this was something I was familiar with and I really wanted to be a part of. So I applied, and yeah, I guess the rest is history.
Yeah, I have a bit of a less nice or fancy, I guess, way that I was introduced to it. I actually had found out that we had a TEDx branch here at Queens through a sticker on a bathroom stall. That year, I guess the team like that Keshvi was then a part of, they were advertising and managed to put stickers on some of the bathroom stalls, and that was how I found out about it, that it existed. And I immediately found them on Instagram and actually reached out asking if I could volunteer for the conference. And I encouraged a couple, one of my friends to do it as well, who actually now happens to still be part of the club, Maddie. And so that was how I was introduced to it. But I really fell in love with the environment and like the vibes, like Keshvi said, during the conference itself, that I just had to be a part of it. And I was lucky enough to be onboarded as a logistics lead, which I really enjoyed so much that I really wanted to be co-director, and I'm so glad that I got it. And I'm working with these two other people here. And yeah, like Joey said, also just the magic of the entire conference coming together after all of the hard work and blood, sweat, and tears that like had gone into it, and seeing the entire team come together as well. It's just something that you can't really describe, and it's like very rewarding and fulfilling. So I'm really looking forward to it again this year.
And if people don't find stickers in bathroom stalls, how can they find out about opportunities as they come up? Obviously, like you have a strong like social media presence, website.
Our Instagram handle is TEDxQueens, and our website is www.TEDxQueensU.com. We also have a LinkedIn as well, but our most recent updates are typically on our Instagram. If you want to find out our most recent updates and where everything's going on, you can find that on our Instagram. Our marketing team has been doing amazing this year, so our Instagram page is looking real nice, and we strongly recommend you to check it out.
Yeah, and if you ever see one of us in public or recognize someone from TEDx, I'm sure if you went up to them, they would be happy to talk about TEDx. We're also boothing a lot in the ARC this January before the conference, and we'll probably be boothing for hiring as well in the new year. So one thing, just don't be afraid to come up. A lot of people last year who actually came up to the booth and were like, oh, I had no clue Queens had a TEDx, they're actually on the team now. So definitely like don't be afraid to come up to anyone on TEDx. We really try and keep that inclusive and foster an environment where everyone feels welcome and wants to contribute.
Yeah, and unfortunately, although our volunteer applications are closed for this year, we strongly recommend you come to the conference. It's an amazing experience, even just as an attendee, and even as attendee, you're actually going to be able to see every single one of the talks from the seat as well. And we have a delegate bag that's also valued at around $60, including a sponsorship from Popeye's supplements, and we've got a shaker and some samples from them. We've got a drink from Poppy, a drink from Yerba Mate, a drink from Roar. We've also got a sponsorship from Dare as well, and some chips and gummies, as well as a bunch of coupons from a bunch of different other Kingston organizations. And obviously you're gonna get fed.
Okay, so if people are hooked right now, they're sold, they want to go, where is it, when is it, how long is it, and how do people buy tickets?
Yeah, so the conference is taking place January 24th, 2026 at the wonderful Isabel Bader Performing Arts Center. I think it's always been hosted at the Isabel Bader from my knowledge, and it is a bit hard for student clubs to afford these professional venues, but since we're so established, it's really nice that we're able to offer that to students and kind of the speakers as well. They're getting a really professional experience with their talk, and they're not just kind of like in a lecture hall or something like that. And then so the time frame of the conference. So the doors will open at 11:30 with performances starting at 12. So we'll have our first batch of speakers, a quick performance, and then we'll go into a lunch break and refreshment with Roar. And then our innovation lab will also be open throughout the conference. So if students want to go visit any of the clubs and kind of learn more about them. Previously, we've had Formula One racing from Queens. DFRC is coming this year as well. So lots of opportunity to kind of meet different people in the Queens community. And the conference will probably go till about 6 p.m. after our 8 speakers and 3 performances all happen and our Indigenous opening and closing ceremony. And yeah, we also have a peer support booth. So obviously, conferences can be super overwhelming, lots of people, lots of discussions, sometimes sensitive topics as well. So we also just wanted to make sure that students have a space they can go if they just need some additional support or kind of want to rest in between like a talk. So yeah, we really try and make sure that the conference is accessible too. So the Bader is a great venue. Their staff is amazing at making sure everyone feels supported, saving reserved seats for wheelchair users or individuals with physical disabilities, as well as like sensory issues. So we're really appreciative of the staff there as well, who have been amazing help for the past year while we've been planning, and last year as well when we were figuring everything out.
And is it just open to students? Is it open to the community as well?
It's open to anybody. Our ticket platform is open on Bounce. It's actually, it's on our, both on our website and our link tree in our Instagram and our link in bio. And yeah, it's open to anyone. You don't have to be a Queen student. You don't even have to be from Kingston. So anyone can come.
I was honestly surprised last year seeing how many, I thought it would be mostly Queens students, but we actually do get a lot of outreach to the Kingston community. This year, we're also doing some outreach with the high schools, SLC. So kind of like we said, how we want people from all different faculties, we really want people from everywhere. So we get the most productive discussion and something you don't get all the time.
Yeah. What do tickets cost?
Yeah, so currently tickets are at $40. Last year they were a bit more expensive, but we really wanted to make sure the continuity of the club, obviously with an expensive venue catering, that we're still able to afford running in future years. But we also have bursaries that are open until January 15th because we don't want a financial barrier to stop people from accessing quality information and hearing these important stories. So the bursary application is on our Instagram. I don't think it's on our website right now, but check out our Instagram. Those are due again on January 15th, and I think you can get the tickets for 50% off at $20. Also, for future years, we normally have an early bird price. Fortunate to sell out of our early bird tickets, so that was a big accomplishment for us, and now they're back at the regular 40. But yeah, early bird is typically a little cheaper as well.
I mean, you're getting fed and you're getting 6 hours of conversation and interaction with other members of the community. That seems incredibly reasonable.
So. And the swag bag.
Plus the swag bag.
There's a lot. I'm going to take one of those for myself. Like, there's a lot of good stuff in there.
I might take two.
Like, it sounds like things to, like, sustain you in between lunch.
No, exactly. Yeah. Like, we were adamant. We're like, this needs to be something that, like, I'd open up and be like, yeah, this is sweet. Yeah. So, yeah, the value of that, we said, like Alex said, it's around $60. And then the food, I think, will be quite good. It's, like, professional catering from Queens Event Services. So, I think everyone will be eating good. I know that's something I always look for when I'm attending events. So I think we try to make it as good of an all-around experience as possible.
So you had one salon. Is there anything else, or is this going to be the culmination of programming for TEDx Queens U this year?
Yeah, so we forgot to mention we had two salons. So we had a karaoke slash open mic night at the beginning of the year, which was really cool. It was at the Mansion, popular spot, as like I know a lot of us know, in Kingston. And we had some people come in and do poetry, do musical performances. And then at the end, we had a fun karaoke night. And then, like Joey said, we had the Reconnected event, like showcasing our previous speakers. And then after the conference, we're hoping to do one more salon event. We still have yet to decide, but it's going to be something that's led by like our first year reps, and that's meant to be their like legacy project. But usually with salon events, they're more of like our last one's going to be more of a mini conference. So we're probably going to pick like a very niche or a specific topic and then get 2 or 3 experienced speakers to come in and talk about that. So I know some ideas that we've had thrown out are like one focused around cancer or one focused around a specific music genre and so on. So we have yet to decide the topic, but that'll be like a more specialized, intimate event as opposed to our like much more large scale conference. So, yeah.
And the salon events are always free of charge because obviously, like we said, we don't want financial barriers to limit students from learning. So if you're interested in coming to our salon events, normally it's just a sign up and an AMS waiver, and then you're all good to come.
And there's free food.
Yeah.
Knowing how to bring people out.
100%.
But it's true. I mean, food's a concern, right?
Yeah, yeah,
totally.
Before we wrap up our conversation today, is there anything else that any of you want to add? I know I'm getting very excited. I'm like, oh my goodness. I'll be there anyways with CFRC. It sounds like an amazing conversation, and obviously more information on all of the different speakers, because we've just hinted at some of them today, is available online as well.
Yes, yeah, all over our Instagram and our website as well. So if you guys want to check that out, go ahead.
Yeah, and if we didn't answer, or if you have a burning question, feel free to reach out to us on Instagram. Most of us are chronically online, so we'll see that pretty quickly and get back to you as soon as possible. Yeah, we really just like engaging with the student population and hearing their ideas. And most of the time when people come to our booth, they're like, can I give a TED Talk? And we kind of have to explain, like, you could in future years, but it's really like we're promoting our conference and just getting that academic discussion and experiences that not a lot of other conferences on campus are kind of like so broad. Typically, it'll be like a hyper focused on one idea. So like we said, that orchestrate is meant to be super broad, so kind of anyone can connect to it in a meaningful way.
Yeah, we also have a lot of very cool like music aspects that we decided to integrate into the conference. Like, we're going to have a grand piano in the lobby. Our wonderful prods team is going to be organizing something, building something by hand, both for the lobby and for the stage as well. And obviously some of the talk. I tried to convince Keshvi and Joey to dress up in a conductor uniform with me because we're going to let me go up on the stage, but I don't think that's going to be happening.
Come on, you got to have at least some tails.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, which I thought that would be really funny, but yeah. I don't think it's
going
to work.
Well, you know, maybe if people show up.
Hey, yeah. She's been pushing this for a year since the moment we got hired. But.
If we sell out of tickets, we'll all wear conductor suits.
There you go. Everyone buy tickets right now.
Although I am set on the bow tie right now. Mm-hmm. I can't lie.
You can. Bow tie works with the conductor costume,
true.
Though. So.
Yeah. True. Like a bright red one, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that.
We'll see. Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, well, it's a pleasure to have you in. I mean, I'm nerding out just like talking about this in the broader sense. I can't wait for the conference itself. Thanks so much again. And yes, people, if you're thinking, if you want to participate in future years, or if you just want to go and talk, go. These are really unique conversations that you're not going to experience in Kingston other than in really thoughtfully curated events like this. So don't sleep on it. Enjoy your Saturday. Have some food, have some great conversation. And thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
So
thank you so much for having us.
Sign up now to take over CFRC's airwaves yourself. CFRC 101.9 FM invites all Queen's University student groups and Kingston community organizations to take over our airwaves. Join us on air for an hour to talk about your student group or community organization, and also present your own playlist of fun music chosen by your team. This is a great opportunity to talk about what your group does, how others can get involved or provide support, any big events your group has coming up, and how to keep up with the latest news about your group. Apply by visiting cfrc.ca/contact and selecting Apply for a Club Community Takeover. This project is made possible through the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Radio Meters program.